Hello and welcome to the Career Changers podcast. I'm Elisa Martinic and I'm the founder and editor-in-chief of the Career Changers. I'm definitely one of them. I learned from my experience that following our dreams requires courage, self-awareness and a lot of inner work. I love to discover stories of career change and share them with the world as a source of inspiration for all those who are still searching. Career changes are not a straightforward chronology written in our CVs, but the sum up of our dreams, ambitions, failures, and successes. The Career Changers is an online community that aims to inspire thousands of people during their journey to self-realization. We discover and share inspirational real-life stories of career change. We inspire people that are thinking to change career. We support people that want or need to change career, but feel stuck or lacking confidence and clarity. We connect and collaborate with organizations that support career change across different industries. I believe that thinking to have only one job or career in our life is a limiting belief, unless the job or that career make us happy. Life is a journey, and with one third of our lives spent working, it would be unimaginable to not have a desire to explore new avenues. Welcome to the Career Changers podcast. Hello and welcome to the Career Changers, the show that shares the most inspirational career change stories with the world. I'm your host, Elisa Martinic. And today we are going to talk about career change in the arts industry and more specifically in dance with Mark Kelly. We'll discuss his career change experience and the wider challenges of transitioning his career in the dance industry. In this episode, Mark will also offer listeners a free taste of his work as a somatic experience trauma therapist. So be sure to listen all the way through for the details. Our guest today is Mark Kelly. He's a somatic experience trauma therapist that helps people heal their traumas. He's going to share with us his career change journey from dancer to dance teachers and somatic experience trauma therapist. Hi, Mark. Thanks so much for joining us. So we are going to start our interview with a ritual questions for our guest. What did you want to do when you were a child?
So I have this memory of my father was a businessman. He's a businessman. And I remember putting on my one suit that I had as a child and getting on my desk and thinking, oh, I'm going to be a businessman. You know, I would put on my shoes and get my pieces of paper and in my mind, this was the fantasy that I would be a businessman like him.
Oh, well, it didn't really go that way because you actually trained at the Dance School of Scotland for 4 years before joining the Royal Ballet Upper School. After 7 years of intense training, you received your first professional dance job with the Scottish Ballet as a junior artist. And that was when your career as a dancer started. Well, now we are really curious to know more about that.
It's quite an interesting story, actually. In a way, I didn't really choose to be a dancer. At a young age, around 10 or 12, in Scottish Ballet had talent scouts that went out to primary schools in Glasgow, and They went into my school and they thought myself and another boy were somehow they had gifts for dance, and they invited me to audition for the Dance School of Scotland. At that time I didn't know what really it was like. I had no history of dance in my family. And they said, you know, we think you have a talent for this, so why don't you come and start this specialist training for young talented dancers.
So, well, how was then your career? How long did you spend at the Scottish Ballet?
Yeah, so in a way, after the first year of the joining the Dance School of Scotland, it was like I realized that I could be very good at this. So, you know, in a way, fast forward the 4 years of training at the Dance School of Scotland, and then I realized that in order to continue my training, I had to go to London and seek, you know, more specialist training. So I received a place at the English National Ballet School and the Royal Ballet School, and I chose the Royal Ballet School, and spent 3 years of very intense training there, and then found my way back to Scotland. I went for an audition to Scottish Ballet. I remember the first day they said, "Oh, you know, we really like you, but we don't have any places." And I had arranged to spend 2 or 3 days with the company. So I go back the next day, I do class, and then they say to me, "Oh, in fact, we have managed to find a place for you. Do you want to join the company?" So that was quite an exciting moment, you know, from the age of 12 years old all the way through to around, I was probably 18 then, to then get that position is like, well, actually, it's more real now in a way.
So what are the best or worst memories that you have about that time?
Well, I suppose when I joined Scottish Ballet, I realized that I was maybe technically gifted and I had a good technique, but I realized that I wasn't necessarily very confident, or I wasn't an artist yet. So it was a process of maturing as a dancer, as an artist, and really realizing that it takes time to master something. It doesn't just happen overnight. So I suppose the realization of that the journey never stops. You know, I wasn't going to join the company and then that was it. I was going to have to continue to apply myself, to grow, to make mistakes, to learn. So it's really an up and down process in a way.
How did you find life as a dancer? Because you were very young and of course it's a career that requires lots of sacrifice.
Yeah, I mean, it's an exciting job and you meet wonderful people and you get to tour the world, but it's hard graft, you know. Every day you work and you have to sometimes push through exhaustion. You have to sacrifice perhaps other things in your life, like a social life maybe. When you're touring, you don't have the same time. But the company environment becomes like an extended family. You know, you get to see these people at their best, at their worst. You work intimately with people, closely, you know. The studio is a place to learn and to grow. And it's never a dull moment, really, as a dancer, to be honest.
So after many years at the Scottish Ballet, you then joined the Rumber Dance Company, that is one of the most famous contemporary dance company in the world. How did you get this new opportunity and what was the catalyst for change?
In a way, there's a kind of correlation between the random things appearing as a dancer. So I didn't choose to be a dancer, but then it came to me. And I got my job at Scottish Ballet very easily. So when I was in the company, this must have been 9 years or so before I left, I felt like I had reached and learned everything that I could learn in that environment. And I think I was looking on the computers in the common room in Scottish Ballet and saw the Rombert Dance Company were looking for dancers, for male dancers. So I put my CV forward. I think I might have sent some sort of video. And it so happens that Mark Baldwin, the artistic director, had already seen me dance in London. So they invited me to come to Chiswick in West London, the old Rombert Dance Company building, to take a ballet class. And I went, I took the ballet class. And at the end of the class, he said, "You know, when can you start?" Well, so that was quite exciting.
Yeah, exactly. Sounds exciting. And well, I imagine you had the opportunity to tour the world and to visit different countries. How was that experience? What was the impact on your way to see the world? Did you find a new inspiration, new way to look at things?
I think the most exciting tours were to China. Scottish Ballet and Rombert both. We went to Beijing, Shanghai, and Seoul in Korea. But I always remember distinctly in Shanghai, the hotel was a very tall building, and the hotel in Shanghai looked onto a park, and every morning the Chinese people go and do Tai Chi to start the day. And some of us would get up early sometimes and go and just walk or watch. But it, to me, it just seemed like such to see older people still moving. You know, this was mostly people in their 50s and above and moving with such elegance and grace. And the experience of all the different foods in Asia. And they love British people to come and to practice their English. And I always felt very welcome in China. They embraced, I think, the different cultures, you know.
So you were 9 years at the Scottish Ballet, then you moved to Rambert for, I don't know, how many years?
Five and a half years.
So when and how did you start thinking about changing career?
Yeah, so when I joined Rombert Dance Company, it was very exciting. It was like becoming a student again. You know, I had to learn new repertoire, learn different techniques. But again, the same process of after about 5 years, I started to feel a bit stuck creatively and not really going in the direction that I wanted to. I think I wanted more creativity. I wanted to be more than just a technical dancer, but to be able to act, to use text, to, you know, and at that time, it felt like the opportunities for that were not there. So I, at that point, then I decided to experiment auditioning for different companies. And I handed in my notice to Rombert. And then I did a lot of touring around Germany, going to different companies, more physical theater companies. And really, it was a very exciting process of learning how to be in an audition process, learning new skills, being asked to learn techs, new movements, you know, floor work. So it was a very rich and exciting time. But in that moment where the jobs didn't come, I also had another voice that said to me one day, you know, why don't you let some of that go, this dance background, and go forward towards some of my other interests, which were about people, about life challenges. I think I was always interested in therapy, in mindfulness, meditation. So that's when the door opened for some new, possibly new experiences, you know.
So what challenges did you personally have to face during the career change process?
Yes, in a way, there's a kind of a risk that one takes to try something new. I had spent by that time about 16 years as a professional dancer. I didn't have really any other qualifications. And also a bit of a grieving process of letting something go and moving towards being, again, a student, a learner. But yet, over time, that the fear became turning into more excitement, like being able to go and do courses because I have the time, following my interests, trying other dance techniques. You know, my body started to heal also because I had been working full time for many, many years, and the body starts to speak and say, "Oh, and you need to listen," you know.
Yeah, I think you put this down very well. When we become experienced at something, I think it's quite difficult to let it go, especially because there is this idea that we need to progress. You know, we are getting older, so it seems that we have to build up our experiences and become more expert in one field. And yeah, sometimes it can, you know, that can be that feelings of challenge of starting all over again. And I believe it can be quite overwhelming. So you had your own challenges, like every career changer. And if we look specifically at the dance industry, do you think generally dancers are well equipped or supported to change their career?
Well, the one resource that I think has been so important for me was Dancers Career Development, which are a charity which support dancers to transition to other careers at different points. It might be through choice, it might be through physical injury. So they offer coaching, they offer financial grants for dancers to retrain. But in a way, they're a small organization and they don't reach every dancer. They are supported by the main companies in the UK, so Rombert Dance Company, Royal Ballet, English National Ballet, Northern, put into these funds to support the dancers. But also on the other side of it, that there are many freelance artists, the dancers who work in musical theatre. So it's a very specific transition for a dancer to retrain compared to maybe another career. There are similarities, but a dancer tends to be perhaps at that point where they decide to retrain, they might not have different qualifications, they may not have the financial means to retrain. So the Dancers Career Development were a very important support, and they funded my training for the 3-year somatic experiencing training. So it was a very important support that I needed.
Yeah, there's something very interesting to learn because I think there is not enough awareness of the type of support that people in different industries can get when they need to change career, and especially, you know, in the arts and maybe in other industry like sports or the military. It's more common that people will have to change career at an early age. So probably they are facing different types of challenges. Personally, when I think about career change for a dancer, what comes to my mind is that one of the most difficult aspects may be having to leave the stage. You the feeling of, you know, being there with an audience. I think that gives great excitement, and that may happen at a pretty young age. Was this something that you have to experience, and based on your present working practice as a somatic experiencing trauma therapist, are there any tips that you can suggest to any dancer going through such a difficult time?
Well, it goes back to something I said before about a grieving process of grieving a loss of self, you know, no longer being, well, I'm a dancer. As you mentioned, the loss of the euphoria, excitement of performing, a loss of connection with a community. You know, if you join a dance company, you're with people. And to allow that process to happen, and the grief can also then turn into joy, about excitement, about growing into something else. So there's a bit like the kind of the butterfly, and the process of growing is painful sometimes. But I think for dancers specifically in that process to allow themselves to be interested in other things, and what is it that makes them feel excited in different ways, that, you know, they love dance, they may always love dance, but do they love something else? Do they love pottery? Do they want to study in something else? So to allow this kind of expansion of oneself, and also to hold that grief, to be around people, to share, oh, it's tough, it's not easy to, you know, it's a bit like losing someone, a different type of grief, but nonetheless can be very, very difficult and isolating too.
So in your first career change, you went from being a dancer to being a dance teacher first.
Mm.
How was that transition?
In a way, it was kind of funny and exciting. So I think I was very good at like connecting with people as a dance teacher. So, you know, that transition of being around people, connecting, but in a way, I didn't really know how to teach. I knew how to dance. I of course I know classical ballet inside out, but teaching is a separate skill, and I think I was natural at it, but there's probably a lot of things that I did 4 years ago as a teacher that I wouldn't do now. You know, I probably didn't understand structure of a class, or how do you... The most challenging thing, I think, for professional dancers is how do you teach something which is so innate and so automatic for me, but to someone who has maybe never danced before? And that is a skill and a finesse that continues to grow and develop.
Yeah, definitely. You know, sometimes probably being a great dancer doesn't mean necessarily to be a great teacher.
Mm-hmm. Very true.
It's like football, no? Coach and football and footballer.
Yeah.
So then when and how did you decide to become a somatic experiencing trauma therapist? And where did you find, when did you discover about this specific area?
Yeah, so when I left Rombert and spent 9 or so months auditioning, I didn't get a job. And then at that point, I first tried an introduction to counselling. So a 10-week course about counselling skills. And then I went on to do 1 year of counselling training. But during that time, I understood that I enjoyed this learning, but that there was something missing for me. And also at that time, a friend had the book Waking the Tiger, which is Peter Levine's book, the founder of Somatic Experiencing. And I started to read this book, and kind of the book and what he was saying spoke to me. And I realized that perhaps if I was going to be a therapist, that I needed to find a modality which was more embodied, which would use all the life skills that I had, all the years of relating through the body. So at that point, I thought, well, I will try the introduction to somatic experiencing. And it was a 2-day course. And after that course, it was clear to me that I would do the 3-year training. It was like there was no question. It really moved me. It was like it spoke to somewhere in me that wasn't just a mind choice, maybe a heart choice or a gut choice, maybe.
So, well, life has its up and down, but we can really say that 2020 has been a challenging year for all of us. We as humans, we have experienced the reality of a pandemic and restrictions on our way of living. Worries, fears, and anxiety have escalated. How does your practice as a somatic experiencing trauma therapist help people to deal with those type of feelings?
Yeah, we as you said, we're living in really challenging times and experiences that we've never had in these current times. And some of the work that I've done with clients in these times is to help them come down from high levels of anxiety through just noticing maybe relative things of safety or you know, really taking things moment by moment and slowing things down. So sometimes when we project forward into life and worry, we kind of lose track of what's happening in the present moment. And you know, sometimes also for many people there's loss, there's grief, and there are no there's no modalities that fix this. This is a process of time, and I would say that my part is often to be with someone, you know, sometimes to just listen and to acknowledge their pain or to acknowledge, but also to help them to access resources and strength that they have. You know, I'm not giving it to them. They, you know, I believe each person has the ability to move through challenges, but sometimes we just need someone to walk with us for some time.
So have you personally been affected in any way, I mean professionally, by COVID-19 during this year?
Yes, I think also experiencing my own anxiety about a loss of income, a loss of freedom of movement. And I believe that we feel the collective unrest, each individual, we're not separate. And my practice was coming together nicely before COVID, and then it saw a sharp decline. But you know, that's not to say that things are starting to change, and people will need support in these times in order to move through the challenges.
So a common challenge for people that look at changing their career is that they hold back. They have difficulties in achieving their full potential. In your experience as a somatic experiencing trauma therapist, what do you think are the main reason for that?
Yeah. Well, I think it's a big question in some ways. I can maybe touch on it in a small way, but often we, myself included, that we perhaps have a fear of something or a projection that something isn't quite going to work. Or maybe sometimes we've heard us saying, oh, I'm not good enough. I'm not never going to do this, you know. And, you know, we have to allow these voices to be heard, but also to realize that they are just a thought. They're not a reality. And really sometimes the most we can do is to come back to ourselves, to say, right, I'm here right now, I'm doing my best, I can feel my bum on the chair, I can feel my vitality. And from there, we can act. But often the mind likes to wander but, you know, we're also different. And as I say, maybe this is answering that question in a very small way, but I'm sure there are many ways that we can stop ourselves from dipping our toe in the water of something new, you know.
So, well, because your practice is based on experience, on practical experience, we can give a taste of this to our listeners now. please go ahead.
Yeah, sure. So, let's just maybe start together and notice if you're sitting on a chair or on the ground, or if you're, you know, on the tube, maybe listening to this, that to just notice that you're being supported by something. You might notice the clothes on your skin. Maybe your feet are in shoes. You notice the contact with the shoes. And, you know, what is it like to arrive? Just to kind of, for a few moments, just notice, wait. You know, to really let gravity move through us in some way. And just maybe notice as you take a bit of time to explore contact, that, you know, does something soften a little bit? Or do you need to move in some way to be more comfortable? And maybe a little image that I could give you is, like, what would it be like if we could let the muscles to rest on the bones? So we don't have to hold up anything. We can let the muscles relax onto the bone. And noticing if our breath changes or does it stay the same? Do we feel any natural kind of little movements that happen? Or maybe you don't notice anything right now. That's okay as well. So the one last thing we can explore very briefly is if you just allow your head to move and your eyes to roam, wherever you are, to just look with curiosity. You know, what do you see in your environment? Is there a light? Is there a plant maybe, or something of beauty that you want to spend a bit of time observing with your eyes? Might be like the curiosity of a child when they look at nature, or when they look in a room and they want to discover things. And just as a way of kind of pausing and ending this little practice, you might just notice what is different after this little exploration. Do you feel more open? Do you feel more relaxed or more anxious? There's no right or wrong with this. And maybe I will ask Elisa what you notice maybe.
Well, I feel definitely more grounded. It was a little bit challenging to relax knowing that the camera is pointing at me. Mm-hmm. A little bit self-conscious. But grounded, definitely feeling that the worries, even the self-consciousness, of being in front of the camera would switch off and feeling more connected with my body and less worry.
And these practices are just a small example, but, you know, take from them what worked and what didn't work. You can leave aside.
Well, thank you. This was a really good moment of relaxation, and hopefully our listeners were able to get more in touch with themselves, especially during these stressful times. And to conclude, is there any message you would like to give to our listeners, and also where and how they can contact you?
Yeah, I mean, I think in these times that the importance of moving, of dancing, of listening to music and allowing your body to groove and you know, because we could easily get stuck and frozen in fear. So, you know, what music you like, what any kind of dancing, and to connect to those people that you can connect with. You know, it might be that it's virtually or on the phone, or you might be living with someone. You know, maybe being in nature, you know, to really keep connecting with your own vitality and your life energy. And that could give more agency, that we don't become stuck in this moment of, you know, there is fear and there is difficulty, but we have some choice, some small choices we can make each day. And I will give two links for the listeners. So to contact me directly is www.markkellysomatics.com. This is my own website. If anyone would want to get in contact, you can get me there. The other one is the Somatic Experiencing UK Association, which has some information there. And this is www.seauk.org.uk.
Thank you, Mark. And really, the last question, if you could give yourself a piece of advice, what would you say to your younger self?
Yeah, this is an interesting question. Yeah, I think I would say maybe take a few more risks, be a bit more bold, I would say.
Thank you, Mark, for joining us today.
You're very, very welcome. It's been an absolute pleasure.
So, thank you for listening our episode. Today, Mark Kelly shared his experience as a somatic experiencing trauma therapist. He helps people to heal their traumas. As a child, Mark wanted to be a businessman like his dad, but he became a dancer instead. At the age of 19, after training at the Dance School of Scotland and at the Royal Ballet Upper School, he got his first professional dance job with the Scottish Ballet as a junior artist. And after 9 years, he left to join Rambert, one of the most famous contemporary dance company based in London. In 2015, he started teaching ballet to adults and training to become a somatic coach. In this interview, he talked about his professional life and his career change journey from dancer to dance teacher and somatic experiencing trauma therapist. Don't forget to subscribe to our channel and tune in next week for a new inspirational episode of The Career Changers. Thank you. And thank you again, Mark.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.